sharing our lives, sharing our faith, and sharing Jesus. I've got that in the right order, right? Shall I say that again? Sharing our lives, sharing our faith, and sharing Jesus. We've looked at sharing our lives, part one and part two. Today we're going to look at part one of sharing your faith, okay? And then we'll move on to sharing Jesus. Just a brief recap. But we just want to thank you for today. We thank you for that you speak to us, and I pray that you speak to us through your word. Thank you for glasses of water. Thank you. And we just want to thank you, and I pray that you'll speak through your word, Lord. I pray that it'll be real. Amen. That's right. It's got to be real, hasn't it? For us, it's got to be applicable. We have to apply it. So, sharing your life, part two, last week. We talked about how important it was to be very practical, and how we respond to the word, and how we need to make space and room. Everybody remember that? We need to make space and room for the Lord. And then when we make space and room for the Lord, he will fill it, you see. That's good. And sometimes, you know, moving out, like sharing our lives, we might be moving into unknown waters because we might be sharing more than we've done before. So we have to trust. We have to trust the Lord, you know, we have to trust as we go out into the sea, as boats go out into the sea, they have to trust the GPS, whatever they call it, into unknown waters. Yeah. And we talked about consecrating ourselves in Joshua 3 verse 4, well, he talked about that, didn't he? Consecrating yourselves, get ready when God speaks. You know, they had to move into the promised land, but they had to be ready for that. You know, and unless they did what God said, they wouldn't see the amazing things that did take place, like the parting of the sea. This was, you know, when the elders went through, when they went through the water, and of course Jericho, the walls came a tumbling down, didn't they? That was all acts of God, because people were listening and they were walking with God. Okay. And then was mentioned about Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You remember that very famous, well-known passage which Jesus mentions at the beginning of his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor and so on, and to bind up the brokenhearted. And talking about how we can live Isaiah 61 in our personal lives. Okay, yes. And we mentioned about how people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. So it's important to care for people. You know, otherwise it might be like water off a duck's back if you don't show, you're not showing that you care for people. And there mentioned was approval and acceptance. You know, God wants to take people from where they are. We don't have to approve of what people do. Like Jesus didn't approve of the sinners and the prostitutes or what they were doing when he was eating with them, but he accepted them as they were and took them from where they were. Yeah, and then they did change. So, and then we talked about, do we see our home as a gift of the Lord, and do we see it as a castle? And some of us may see our home more as a castle than other people. Or do we see it as a castle, or do we see it as an open door for people's lives? And we talked about serving those around us in the community. We had pancakes this week, and we invited neighbours. In fact, we invited quite a few people, you know, that weren't from this church. And we got about two or three replies. Two of them said yes. How many said no? I can't remember. About three or four. Or two of them said no, and about four or five didn't answer. Which I don't understand that really, but there you are. So at least if you send some out, you'll get something back if you don't get all of them back. So serving those around you, yes. And how comfortable are we sharing our life with others and so on. So that was a brief summary of last week. And yes, and just also following on from that, before we move on to your faith, sharing your faith, yes, I just want to talk briefly about how we live longer, healthier lives when we share our lives with others. That's a fact, actually. Interesting, isn't it? I suppose that's why people who get a sense of belonging tend to live longer. People who go to church tend to live longer, actually, if they are attending regularly. There was an experiment done by a Dr. Michael Mosley where 300 volunteers were deliberately infected, they obviously volunteered, were deliberately infected with the common cold virus, and they were infected, these scientists carried that out. And those who had, of those people, those who had a rich diversity of social ties were four times less likely to get a cold than those who were with, than those who were less outgoing. And those who did get a cold, it wasn't so bad. Okay, that's just an experiment that was done just to prove, you know, to illustrate that we can live healthier lives if we've got more social ties. Those with the strongest social relationships have the greatest life expectancy. Also, social contact among the elderly reduces the likelihood of developing dementia. Interesting. But it increases the likelihood of becoming a super-ager. that is, where the elderly, you know, that they retain their memories and they have the memories of people, the same kind of memory that people have who are decades younger than they are. Wonderful. Do you want to be a super ager?
Yes.
I want to be a super
yes.
ager! Yeah. And so, you know, it goes that we live longer when we live the way God says we should. Okay, it says that in Deuteronomy 52 verse 3. This was about following the law. Sorry, Deuteronomy 5, 32 and 33, sorry. Where God said, walk in the way that the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days. You want to prolong your days, yeah? Okay, well, we have the Lord and we walk in the Lord. We walk in the Spirit and that prolongs our days. Hallelujah, yeah, okay. So social ties, you know, social relationships, it's good for us. Sharing our lives, basically, that's what it is. Now, moving on to sharing your faith. Your faith increases as you share it with others. Okay? Philemon, verse 5. Now, Philemon's a very short letter of Paul writing to one of his church guys. In Philemon, verse 5, he talks to this guy and he says, as you share your faith with others, so you may become fully aware of everything good that we have in Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but when I do talk about the Lord, I mean, when I talk up here, I find it pretty good, because it makes me more aware of everything that I have, everything good that I have in Christ, you know. But talking to other people, sharing your faith with other people, and I'm outside of this, I wouldn't say I'm very good at doing that, but I'm learning, of course. We're all learning, aren't we?
Yes.
And you might feel that you're not very good at doing that, but we're encouraging you today to share your faith with others so that you become more fully aware of everything good that you have in Christ. There's something about speaking it out. There's something about speaking out the word. And sometimes when I just read the word and speak it out, I feel a lot better. Not that feelings are everything, of course. Okay, and in Romans 10, verse 14, the Apostle Paul speaks to the Romans and he says, how is it possible to know Jesus if they don't believe who he is? How can they believe if they have received revelation of the truth? If they have never received revelation of the truth, how can they believe? And how will they ever hear, you could relate that to the people around us, how will they ever hear unless someone tells them about him? And who will the Lord send to open their eyes? Because that's what he does. He opens people's eyes. That's revelation. And he opens their ears as well from spiritual blindness. If he opens their eyes and their hearts, well, that's nice. Sometimes people have closed hearts. Not very nice to have a closed heart. But if you've got a soft, open heart to God, that helps. And if he opens their eyes and their hearts to the truth. So I'll just read that again, yeah? So how is it possible to I think that says to know Jesus? If people don't believe who he is, and how can they believe if they have never received revelation of the truth? We can be the passer on, the communicator of that revelation. Only God can give them the revelation, but we can pass it on. And how will they ever hear unless someone tells them about him? How will they ever hear? We can pray and tell, well, I hope that they hear, but God wants to communicate with them through us by our sharing of our lives and by our sharing of our faith. And who will the Lord send to open their eyes and hearts to the truth? Okay. Isaiah 52 verse 7 says, those who bring good news to others have beautiful feet. Have you looked at your feet lately? Maybe they'll get better looking if you bring good news to others. There's something about, what, why is that? I suppose it means, oh look, they're coming. They've got beautiful feet. We like to see them coming, you know. So if we truly believe that Jesus is life in all its fullness, and that he's the answer to sin, death and hell, if I love my friend or family member, I will say, of course, I have a cure for that or for this problem. I want to share this cure, i.e. I want to share this cure, who is Jesus Christ. I want to share it with him with you. It's really part of them doing that. Yeah. It's motivation. If I had the cure for my friend's illness in my pocket, and I didn't at least offer it to him, then how am I loving him? Okay. We have the cure in our pockets, as it were, you see. We have Christ. And we need to own this. That's the important thing, to feel that we own it, that he owns us and we own him, if that's the right way of putting it. In other words, to have strong faith in him. So motivation in our hearts is so important. The Apostle Paul said he was constrained by love. In other words, it was the love of Christ that moved him to talk to other people. So motivation in our hearts is so important. If we're doing it out of love and talking to others about the Lord out of love, then we're doing it out of his grace and his strength. If we're not doing it out of love, well, we've got mixed motives, people will pick that up like they do, say, from a second-hand car salesman. Have you ever bought a car from a second-hand car salesman? Yeah. Or maybe you're privately, you know, I've been to buy a car once. I always took a friend with me. And I saw this car once I was thinking of buying, and I went to see it, and there was rust underneath it. And these young guys were saying, oh, yeah, it's great, it's a good car. And you could see they just wanted to get rid of it as quickly as they could. They weren't really concerned about who they were selling it to. So people will pick up mixed motives. So really we just need to fall in love with the Lord and have that security of knowing that we're loved. So let's be honest about ourselves. And this is the first thing, because today, as we've been doing in the past few weeks, we've been discussing a few things in pairs and groups, haven't we? So folks, we're going to do this again a few times today. And the first, I think this is the second slide, okay? Yeah. No, go back. Yeah, sorry. That one, yes. So the first thing is, what is your motivation for sharing your faith? I mean, the Apostle Paul said, you know, some people shared their faith, Sir Jesus, out of jealousy or envy because they wanted to be like him, or out of competition, which is, and he said, well, I mean, even though that's not the right way, the fact is the gospel's being spread, okay? But it's best, it's good to have the right motivation. If there have been any mixed motives, be honest, confess it, repent and pray together. So I'd like you just to talk about that for a few minutes, okay? Yeah, shall we get into groups or pairs? Pairs, all right?
Yeah.
Pairs or fives? Threes and twos.
Yeah. When Tomboy comes back,
when
you can
Thomas
go with
comes
him.
Back, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys go ahead and talk for a minute, yeah?
Okay. What is your motivation?
Right. Well, a number of reasons. First of all, we're told to. Grace says, right at the end, you know, go into the world and meet disciples. So that's one motivation. It's an instruction from Jesus. Second one is that you want to give people what you've got. In as much as you want them to be able to share in me, in the healing life of the Holy Spirit. Eternal life in heaven.
And then let God do his work.
Because you can have trouble in this world.
And then there's this whole thing.
Nobody is immune from troubles, stress, illness. Nobody is.
Jesus is the answer.
But at the end of the day, you can share your faith with him. They can be assured that no matter what happens in this world, there's a better world they're going to go to.
Don't come near me. Yes, it's a private
thing. All my motivation is that I feel so important to have a strength of faith in order to be able to mix with people and learn with people and present to people.
Because God just wanted it.
Yes. My motivation is that I just like to have a God in heaven.
Sometimes I need to say to God, I'm sorry, God, if I came on
too soon. And the other thing is, I always try to remember something. Says, you tell someone about Jesus and they just turn their backs on you or something. They're not interested in
you.
Don't take it personally. They're not rejecting you. They're doing something infinitely worse, and that's rejecting
Jesus.
They don't take it personally. I know it's hard. It's hard not to take it personally. Don't, because they're not rejecting you. I think it's harder to talk to a meeting family about it than it is to a complete stranger.
Just very poorly. She felt awful. Yes.
Was she at home?
The Lord just
prayed
for
her. Oh, they only kept her 24
rather than do that.
Maybe that's a major operation.
I know. The wisdom.
Okay. But I have said a prayer for her.
Oh, wonderful.
Every day.
Yes.
And then 2 weeks ago,
to be able to speak to family, friends, strangers, about what you can offer them in their lives.
Yes.
So she hadn't gone back to hospital?
No.
Antibiotics or not?
She finished the law. Okay. Oh, great. But she said, feel stronger when I'm going upstairs.
Oh.
I can walk a little bit.
Okay, well, let's continue. You can continue conversations later if you want to.
Yes, totally.
Okay, I won't have a discussion now, but to continue, all right, I hope you found that helpful, by the way. The next slide, sorry.
It's all right.
The next slide, well, I'll just say what it is. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? So whatever is in your heart, you tend to speak it out. Okay? So if the Lord is uppermost in your heart, you know, if you love the Lord, out of the overflow of that, the mouth speaks. So it's a good measure, really, isn't it? Speaking, yeah, about it. Okay. And then there's this quote from a professor of theology at the Union School of Theology. His name is Dr. Michael Reeves. It says, if I don't enjoy Christ, I won't speak of him. It's interesting that enjoy Christ. You can enjoy Christ. You know? It's not a sort of a, it's a relationship.
Yeah.
I won't speak of him, or perhaps worse, I will, but without love and enjoyment. Nobody's going to really be attracted to that. And if my mouth does give away my heart, people will hear of an unwanted Christ, like the second-hand car salesman. And who would want that? The Spirit, of course, can use such loveless evangelism, as I mentioned about Paul just now. But his real work is to bring us to and keep us in the sunshine of God's love. It is there that we will sing heartily. Oh yes, I want to sing heartily. Yeah. It is there, abiding in Christ, that we become more like our God, faithful and life-giving. That was a quote by Dr. Reeves. And he also, there's another one too. He also quoted something said by a man called Richard Sibbes, who was a Puritan around the 16th, 17th century. A Christian singing God's praises to the world is like a bird singing. I like bird singing.
Yeah.
Especially this time of year as the dawn chorus will start in March. Birds sing the loudest when the sun rises and warms them. And so it is with Christians. When they are warmed by the light of the world, that's Jesus Christ, by the love of God in Christ, that is when they sing loudest. Mm. How loud are you singing? Don't have to answer that question now, but ask yourself that question. Yeah? Okay. So if you're, it's like, I can't help but talk about him. You know, if you meet new converts often, they've just been born again, but they are the ones who often shout the loudest and sing the loudest. So we need to let our spirits come alive again to Jesus. Now, I just want to give you a few statistics about how people came to know the Lord. All right, I'm not sure if all these percentages add up, really, but it's roughly about this, okay? But it's... there was a survey done, and I won't go into details about the survey, but it was done recently within the last 10 years, 7 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. It said that a majority, you found out that majority, how they know to come, how they came to Christ was growing up in a Christian family. Isn't that interesting? And so that shows the importance of witness in the home. You know, in our families, okay, and spending time with the family. I think that was about 26%. 24% said reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. I think in the pandemic that went up. In 18 to 24 year olds in 2022, that went up to 38%.
Goodness, that's great.
19% said it was attending a church service in person. 16% said a spiritual experience. Ooh. And you can have a spiritual experience. Yeah. I've got a book at home which is about Muslims who converted to Christ. And because that they I suppose it takes a spiritual experience for a Muslim to be converted to Christ. They have visions of Christ and things. I'm not saying that they're the only people that will get a spiritual experience. And 15% was through conversations with a Christian friend. Now, some of those might have all been mixed up, you know, going to church service. They saw a Christian friend there and they were talking to them or whatever. But, you know, we can give away the word there, can't we? That's right. So, majority growing up in a Christian family. It's interesting, isn't it? Okay. So, what about us? Think about yourself. What is your story? This is the thing. What is your story about how you became a Christian? What is your testimony? Because we've all got a testimony if we're born again. We've all got a testimony. Was it an influence? Was it influenced through a Christian family, through maybe your Christian family or somebody else's Christian family? or the family that you grew up in? Was it by being brought to church by a friend? Was it by just reading the Bible and it happened? Or was it a spiritual experience? Or was it watching something live on was it by watching a talk on video by a preacher or something? Was it through Alpha, maybe? And even through prayer meetings, people can get saved. I heard the other day about somebody who came into a prayer meeting. They didn't know it was going to be a prayer meeting. Somebody invited them to church. They came early. And some guy was going to this prayer meeting. He said, "Oh, do you want to come to the prayer meeting?" I said, "All right." So he came to the prayer meeting. He wasn't a Christian. And all these people were giving it hammer and tongs, you know. You know, "Oh, Lord, yeah." You know what it's like. Really intense, really strong and wholehearted. And this guy was converted as a result of that, because he could see the wholeheartedness of the Christians. They weren't like second-hand car salesmen. It was really first-hand, not second-hand. Interesting, that, isn't it? First-hand. So people can even get saved in a prayer meeting. Yeah. So to give away the Lord, you know, when you tell your stories, yeah, we've all got testimonies. So I think the second, sorry, yes, maybe you could get
it. It's fine.
The next slide. What stories do you have of the ways you've seen God come through for you? Okay, that's the first question. Do you know anyone going through similar circumstances? Could you share your story and encourage them that God could do for them what he's done for you? Okay, that's for you to discuss again. All right, okay. Just for a few minutes.
Okay.
For a few minutes.
What stories do you have of the ways you've seen God come through for you?
Well, God comes through for us every day.
Yes. You could too.
It's not like
yes. Maybe.
All right. Oh, yeah. Yes. Lord. It's
looking
at God's turn for me.
We're just discussing this.
It's Kelly's turn today for me.
What stories do you have of the ways you've seen God come through for you?
God comes through for us every time.
Do you know anyone going through similar
circumstances? Sometimes
could you share your story that God said that God could do for them?
Other times he comes through and we don't even know he's come through. And sorted something out that we didn't even know was there.
Sorry? Yeah.
She's aware.
Well, do you want a chair? No, because it's only a couple of
hours. Big bag
away from the three for you. I certainly saw that as a 16-year-old anyway.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Just the situation at work, I feel like things are going to go pear shaped.
Would you pray in those situations?
Yeah, I do.
If you haven't been, you can't fully know. No.
When I was in this bed place.
No, that's right. So that in those circumstances, you're probably best. Each is an individual case. Yeah. And like you said,
for me to realise that they'd been chained.
Okay. I hope that was helpful as well. sure it was. So, looking at that, think about how we could share Jesus and our faith. Now, some of us are a bit, some of us don't have the confidence, yeah, that's natural, okay. Maybe God helped you to make a big decision in your life. I'm just going through various things, maybe that you could share with others how God helped you, all right? Because this is the real you, isn't it? This is the rubber hitting the road, as it were. Well, maybe God restored a relationship, you know, maybe between you and somebody else. Maybe God helped you to forgive somebody. Maybe he worked in you through grief or loss. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is something you can empathise with somebody else, perhaps, if you've experienced that. You can empathise with people, yeah, who are going through the same experience. So, like the middle one there. Has he answered a specific prayer? That's usually a good testimony, isn't it? Has he enabled you to do something you couldn't do without his help? Yeah. Has he freed you from a destructive habit or a life pattern? Destructive life, negative life pattern. Has he done that? All these things are things you can share with other people because people want to know. If they can be freed from some destructive habit or if they can get some understanding from somebody who's been through grief or loss, if they know somebody who's had an answer to specific prayer, that will encourage them. Say, oh, right, God does listen to prayer. Maybe it can happen to me as well. So, I just want to give you a few examples. In Mark 5, 17 to 20. Mark 5, 17 to 20. I don't know how to move it on. Anyway, I'll read it out to you.
Can we do it?
If you can do it, Martin, that'd be great. Thanks. Mark 5, 17 to 20. This is about... I'll tell you what it's about. I'll just read it out to you.
Thank you.
You might be familiar with this story. This is where Jesus and his disciples crossed the lake, the Gerizines, and a man in bondage to an evil spirit came from among the tombs where he lived to meet Jesus as soon as he landed. Nobody could control this man. You can imagine it, can't you? Even if people bound him with chains, he would tear them off. They'd often chained his hands and feet, but to no avail. No one was strong enough to control him. He lived among the tombs or in the hills by day and night, often crying out desperately and cutting himself with stones, self-harm. How many people self-harm these days? Anyway, seeing Jesus in the distance, we know the story. He ran to meet him and threw himself down on his knees before him. Then he shouted with all his might, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what are you going to do to me? Swear to God that you will not torture me." He said this because Jesus was already addressing the evil spirit in the man. "Come out of him, you foul spirit." Jesus asked the man his name and he replied, "My name is Legion, for I am possessed by many demons." He kept pleading with Jesus not to send these evil spirits anywhere else. Instead, the demons begged Jesus to send them into a large herd of pigs that was feeding on a hillside nearby, and Jesus agreed to this. So the evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, who then rushed down the hillside into the lake where they drowned. There were about 2,000 of them. Wow. And then the swineherds, verse 14, then the swineherds ran off and told people in the town and surrounding area what Jesus had done. Many went to see for themselves what had happened. Many went to see for themselves what had happened. When they arrived at the place, they saw Jesus together with the man, now liberated from the legion of demons that had possessed him. He was sitting calmly in his right mind and was now dressed properly. The people were awestruck. Those who had witnessed what had taken place told them how the demon-possessed man had been set free by Jesus and how the demons had entered the pigs instead. Out of fear, the people begged him to leave the area. Mm. Oh, big supernatural event, you see. Some people can't handle it. Mm. please go, you know.
Interesting.
I wonder sometimes if people who say that, if there's if Jesus does something in the church today, you know, they can't cope with supernatural things like this. You know. As Jesus was boarding the boat, this is the interesting, this is really the bit that I wanted to highlight. As Jesus was boarding the boat, the man who had been set free pleaded to be allowed to go with him. Because he knew what Jesus had done for him, all right? And he wanted to go and sort of preach with him, maybe. Jesus did not agree to this, but told him, go home and tell your family about all the Lord has done to set you free because he had mercy on you. The man did as Jesus said and began to travel around the area of the 10 towns. Some people call it Decapolis. Telling people about all Jesus had done for him. Everyone who heard his testimony was amazed. Okay. So he must have an amazing testimony. So the bloke, this was a Gentile bloke, he'd been set free. You know, he'd been saved and the Lord had delivered him. And he was finally in his right mind. Can you imagine the contrast? Mm-hmm. Before going through cemetery and self-harming himself and all that kind of stuff. He's only been saved 5 minutes. He didn't go to he hasn't been to Bible school. He probably hasn't got any knowledge of the Old Testament or anything like that. And so the people around him could have asked questions, but what would he have said when he was going around those 10 towns? What happened to you? And he would say, I don't know. All I know is let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Okay? You don't have to have all the knowledge or the background knowledge. You don't have to have knowledge of the Bible. But this guy said, all I know is that he's changed my life. That's great, isn't it? Yeah. That was his testimony.
Yeah.
And that's what was important. It was personalised. Mm. And personalisation. Jesus is personal. And it's the personal that is so important when you meet other people. Yeah? Because they see it. They see what Jesus has done for you as they could see what they'd done for this man. You know, a lot of them had seen what he was like before. And here he was telling them, well, look. Look at me now. Look what he's done for me. He's changed my life. Another one was the woman at the well, John 4:39. Again, this is not on the slide. John 4:39. Jesus met this woman at the well, some of you know, Samaritan woman. And she was getting water. Jesus said, the water I give, you will never thirst again. And she said, well, give me some of this water. And then they talked a little bit about worship. And then he said, go and get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. She said, you're right. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband because you've had five men. You've lived with five men, and the guy you're living with now isn't your husband. And from that, you know, Jesus, this woman knew that this guy was different. And she knew that he could see into her life. And that alone was enough to make her go off and tell all the other local people, come and see this bloke, he knows all about me. How could he do that? There's something special about him. Mm-hmm. And so she came back with all these people. Come and meet the people, you know, come and meet him. How many of us want others to meet Jesus? Yeah. Okay. Good. But that was her testimony. Again, she may not have known anything. She knew a bit about worshipping and she asked questions about Jesus, questions about where to worship and so on. But it wasn't her theology or her track record that attracted people. You might have a terrible track record, but Jesus may have done something for you in the past. Even if it was years ago, that is a testimony. Okay? Yeah?
Mm.
So, we've all got a testimony. And you are qualified. Isaiah 61. There is a slide on this one. Isaiah 61. I'm coming towards the end now. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Here we are. Yeah, so this is what we mentioned last week. And the important word there is qualified in this context, okay? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor and afflicted, He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound. That's the Amplified version. Okay, but the Amplified version, which is what I chose, it says qualify. So you have been qualified to pass on the message, to preach if you like, to pass on the message, your testimony. Okay? So, has he qualified me, you might ask. Do you go to the next one? 26. You already have a story worth sharing. You may not think so, but you do, if God has done something in your life. Number two, you're already qualified. You're already qualified to share it. And you are the right person. In fact, you are the only person who can share it because it's unique. Every one of us is unique. And we have a unique story. Isn't that great? Number three, it's not just a story. It's a testimony of a life changed by the living God. Okay? The last thing, I'm going to ask you these questions in a minute, but you'll see these on the screen in a minute. Have you had a sense that there has been something disqualifying you and therefore you can't speak to others about it? Okay? What is God saying to you? Pray for one another for a fresh release of the power of God. We'll look at that in a minute. Okay. In fact, we can go to that slide. Oops, yeah, thanks. Okay. But first, I just want to give you a few examples. Okay. I know some years back there was this guy from Canada that came over. He was a son of one of our friends and came to our church and he gave a great testimony. He was going on with the Lord. And then a few years later, he had a breakdown and ended up in hospital. Okay, I think his wife left him. There was a divorce, and he ended up in hospital basically. ill and burnt out, and I think he was in the hospital bed, and there was a guy next to him pretty much in despair, and I think he was ill with something, and this guy next to him said, oh, you know, I'm really unhappy and blah blah blah, this has happened to me and I don't know what to do. And so this guy who we knew, he said, I'm not there at the moment, but I can tell you somebody who can help you. Jesus, yeah, I can share this with you. And he shared with him the gospel. But the guy wasn't there at the moment. He wasn't going on with the Lord. But you see, the word is powerful. And you can read the word, and the word is powerful. And it says the word is not chained. I love that. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I might be chained in these chains, but the word of God is not chained. If you've got the word in, the more the word is in you, the more that you will know that you are not chained. Okay? Because there's power in the word, sword of the spirit, dividing whatever it is, dividing marrow and bone. Yeah. And this guy was converted as a result. This guy got born again, hearing the message. Because, you know, our friend probably didn't. He didn't feel he was up to it, but he wasn't afraid to tell them about the word. So you don't have to be, it is good to be ready, but you don't have to be ready. That's what I'm saying. And if you point to the word, who is Jesus, he is the word of God, who became flesh, then who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows what it will do for other people? Okay? Yeah, okay. So, have you had a sense that there was been something disqualifying you? What is God saying to you? Pray for one another for a fresh release of the power of God. Okay? That's for you to do for the next few minutes. Alright?
Relationships
I have been apprehensive to speak it out
about
seeing my friend get better over the weeks gives me a sense of
as participants.
Something
I don't think
that I might have done or said.
It looks look at that. That's all in the past.
My friend's life.
When you're born again, you become a baby. That whatever's gone on in the past is gone. Doesn't exist.
So
when you're born again, onwards, that's when you change, and that's when you become qualified.
Yes.
Jesus didn't go to a theological college for 3 years to study.
I think that's the Holy Spirit encouraging you.
Lord, just pray for Shannon now, pray for Kevin now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, when you're born again, Lord,
would be impossible for us. Still feel you should be.
People accept you. We accept you for who you are and what you did for us. We let the Holy Spirit into our lives. Then we start afresh.
Yes, because
like newborn babies, clean slate.
We'd all do the same. Absolutely.
Forget about the present, I haven't brought you one.
Or negative.
I just pray now, Lord, that that should not be a disqualification for becoming a new person and being able to talk to people about you. Just pray that for all this year.
She was there 100%, more than 100%, both Gary and Thomas.
Lord, please hear all the words and all the questions.
You are who you are because of all of you. We would just
help me to be able to see the light, see to go that Pacific
in the winter. Man of God in fact should have all the answers in one sense. Even he could not understand why he allowed his friend to die there just in front of him with all those beautiful six children. So I just pray for June. I guess Nikki as well, just for your continued peace in our hearts when there's things that we don't understand.
Release of the power of God. I'll just end with this, but as a 16-year-old, that's really when I encountered the power of God. And people had prayed for me. I was just a youngster. And I remember having prayed with these people, I remember coming down the stairs, going into this room full of people, youngsters, and I'd been very quiet all week, and I just shouted, God has revealed himself to me tonight. And it was like a victory thing. And generally I got a good reaction. You won't get a good reaction from everybody, necessarily. But most people were excited with me, and they could see that God had done something. He was as real to me as my hand in front of me. And immediately I began to teach and speak to others about the word, okay? But the point is, I think, I mean, that's a testimony for me, and it happened a long time ago. And it's good to have more recent testimonies. But that happened a long time ago, but that has kept me going. If I hadn't had that experience of being filled with the Spirit, I don't know if I'd be here today, or in this room, I mean. Yeah. You know. I don't know if I'd be here today, because there is such strength. I knew that I would never be the same again. And I knew there were things, I was not doing things that were unholy, because I didn't want to do them, yeah. I wanted to do good things. It wasn't just it wasn't just a case of I should do this and I shouldn't do that. It was, the Spirit was so much in me that I had the will of God in me, if I could put it that way. And that's what it's like when you're overflowing, yeah. And the power was fantastic. The power. Yeah. I'm not saying it was all hunky dory. I'm just saying about that experience. Yeah, but we can have when we meet God, that's what we want for people. We want people to meet with God where they are in their personal lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, Lord, we thank you that that's what you want to do, Lord. you want to meet people where they're at, and we thank you that you don't judge them like you did. Like you ate with the sinners and the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the people who you say needed a doctor. You didn't, that was your concern, Lord, even though other people looked down on that. But we just pray, we just ask, Lord, that you help us to see where these people are. Don't help us not to dismiss people or that they wouldn't be interested. Because we can't, what we see on the outside is not always what we can see, is not always what is happening on the inside. So I pray, Lord, that our testimony, our words won't be like a second-hand car salesman's words, or the same delivery, but I pray it will be delivery that will be personally from us, it will be our story, and that will attract other people into your kingdom, and that our love for them will be genuine, to want to draw them into your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.